Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I know you're in there. Come out right now. Drop the motherfucking plan.
That son of a bitch doesn't have a dick.
He's got a fucking dick. He just got it tucked in.
Identify yourselves, motherfuckers.
I'm Jay, and this is my head-real life mate, Silent Bob.
Don't tell me you guys have no idea there's a new comic book movie being made of the old comic book movie you two are the basis for.
That old-ass star-studded piece of shit, that movie sucked balls.
Sucked asshole, too.
Your Honor, I object.
I'll allow it. That movie did suck balls and asshole.
We got 3 days to get to Hollywood and stop this reboot from ever happening.
Boys, I had a baby.
Jay, brace yourself. You're about to meet our legend.
I think I'm gonna need to see a blood test.
No, Jay. This is my daughter, Millennium Falcon.
Can you take us to Hollywood with you?
Fuck no, man! It's a tough-ass neighborhood.
Either you take us to Hollywood, or I stab you both to death on my own front fucking lawn!
And on that note, we cue the music.
Fuck!
I'm glad you guys are smoking back there. I was driving someone about a week ago, and he took a big shit. You have no idea how hard it is to get the smell out of pleather.
Your methods.
Let's do this.
Bong.
Yay! It's Jay and Silent Bob.
I just found out I have a kid, but I don't know how to be a father.
Anybody with cum can be a father, but only love can make you a dad.
How you gonna talk about love and you flinging cum all over the place? That shit's unseemly, bro.
What do you guys think about this reboot?
It sucks. There, I said it. And who's directing this shit anyway? Kevin fucking Smith?
Smells like this reboot went up in smoke.
Jones, Avengers, Endgame, it follows. Joker, Wreck-It Ralph, Mamma Mia, here we go again. Titanic 2, Jack's back, 7 cents, Ghost Attack, Alien vs. Predator, except this on their friends. We'll keep watching the movies right up till our TVs break. So just crank up the volume till your speakers start to shake. You need a second take.
Hi, I'm Seb, and this is my hetero life mate, Jordan.
We don't own any property, and we've never been intellectual about anything, and I'm Jordan.
And welcome to our review of Jay and Silent Bob's reboot.
That's the one.
I got the name right, didn't I?
You did.
Good. Just the two of us today. Andrew has to tend to things externally to film reviews. It's a weird thing, I know, but it is what it is. So I guess pre-apologies in advance, today's episode and next week's episode, because we do film on record on a fortnightly basis, might be a little bit shorter than normal. Hopefully that doesn't affect the actual quality. I reckon we can nail it though.
I think so, especially when you're working with such quality content as this film.
Exactly. The film just speaks for itself. Anyway, our social media is no.
just go back and listen to last week's episode, but sub out a couple things.
It's so close. I know it's meant to be. But oh my, it's so freaking close. I don't know, why did he?
Part of me wants to like just watch the movies side by side and just see like how much it actually lines up.
Yep. Oh, okay. So this is normally the part where I would throw to Andrew to do some sort of trivia, but he's not here. This is like the Poochie episode. This is like when Poochie's not around, like we'll be talking about where Andrew
just
is.
Asking for the where's Poochie?
Yeah, pretty much. I know before we actually get into a little bit of notes on trivia, I actually like this film.
So do I.
I was saying to you before we recorded, started recording, I don't know where I sit in terms of this film versus Strikes Back. as in, I think I like this one more, but I know it less. So it's I'm struggling to come to a conclusion that I'm hoping just talking through it with you today will kind of let me know how I really feel.
We might find the answer.
That's my hope anyway. But what are your initial feelings going into it?
I mean, I was excited for it because I am a big fan of all things Kevin Smith. So essentially, like, ever since like Clerks 2, you've sort of been waiting for like another movie with these characters. So it took a while, but we got there in the end. And there was so many little projects along the way that like were happening and then they weren't happening. And then they were again and then they weren't. And then finally this movie came along.
Okay, so was this film originally meant to be Clerks 3? Because I remember them doing a big casting thing
so about Clerks 3. They were doing Clerks 3 and then Jeff Anderson decided he didn't want to do it. That's so they Randall. Weren't doing that anymore. Yeah, Randall.
Yep.
And then so I think, I'm pretty sure like the Clerks 3 and Mallrats sequel scripts were just kind of stripped and this movie was put together from it.
Interesting. I'm on IMDb now, and I know it's not like it's not the holy grail of truth when it comes to films. Clerks 3 is currently announced, and Jeff Anderson is attached.
It is happening again now.
Yeah. I wonder why he decided not to. I mean, no offense to Jeff Anderson. Does he really have much going on?
No. And I think that was it. Like, he just didn't want to go through it all again. I think, like, I remember hearing him, like, talk before about how, like, he had, like, a bit of a hard time with, like, being Randall. And like that being his life. So like maybe he just didn't want to do it again.
Like people outside of in the real world.
Yeah.
Him like Randall.
Yeah. Like just saying, it's Randall fucking. That's that guy.
Randall's. If I had to be one of the characters from the Clerks franchise, like as in like, this is you now forever. Randall's not the worst one to
not
be.
Not a bad choice. Yeah.
Like he's confident.
Yeah.
He's kind of witty in his own like arrogant asshole-ish sort of way. Like Dante's a. He's a wet blanket.
Yeah.
And Jan Silent Bob, I mean, Silent Bob's the correct answer. But I mean, like, but if you take out Silent Bob as an option and it's between the other three mains, I think Randall's the safest one.
He'd be the pick, yeah.
But I suppose if you want to be Jeff Anderson, that's the problem.
Yeah.
If Jeff Anderson was the better choice.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he decided he didn't want to do it like after a certain point, like before they'd started and all that sort of thing. But like there was a script and everything. And he was just like, I don't want to do it.
Because I noticed, he didn't cameo
and
in this.
Clearly, they can't do it without him.
Well, no, 100%, yeah. But yeah, he didn't cameo in Reboot, which is weird because everyone was in Reboot.
Yeah, which is weird because by the time they were making this, like, I'm pretty sure like they were back on like good terms with each other and everything. So maybe he just didn't want to.
Yeah, I it's curious, but I'll see if there's any notes on him not being in this film while we go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously it's going ahead now and he's back on board.
Okay, so there is a, once again, holy trivia, IMDb, here we are. The big absentee among the cast is Jeff Anderson, who portrayed Randall in Clerks, blah, 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 blah. At the time of the movie was made, Anderson and director Kevin Smith weren't on good terms because the former had rejected Smith's previous script for Clerks 3. His absence is explained at the beginning when Dante claims to the police that he's just giving them Randall's location, so that Randall had gone into hiding for doing something illegal. Anderson and Smith have made amends shortly before it was released. So it must have been just like after they had filmed, but during the edit period. Yeah,
I guess so.
Okay. So there is some notes there, but yeah, I just felt weird. I kept thinking maybe I was missing him. Like,
yeah.
Because they sometimes play the same, like those two actors played roles in Dogma where they weren't Randall and Dante.
Yeah.
So I was like, did he just rock up in some other scene? Like, was he in like background of movies or something? But not there. But and then there was that big wide shot of the Clerks reunion towards the end of the film in black and white. And it was like squinting. It was really quick too. I was like, there. Is he there? There's five people up on the screen. Like, surely he's there.
Yeah, I know. But that's all going ahead again now. I think they're doing it sometime next year. I think he's just like, I think he had to rewrite or like might have just started from scratch with writing it. Because I know he was saying a little while ago, like now Clerks 3 starts with Randall having a massive heart attack.
Oh.
I wonder where he got that idea from.
Yeah, it's a mystery. Well, do you want to go a little bit more into that in the creation of this film then? I think you're a bit more familiar
with it. Well, I guess it comes into play, yeah.
So look at this, like trivia that occurred naturally among the course of the conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think, what was it? It was in 2018, I think, maybe. But yeah, Kevin Smith had just randomly had a heart attack like after doing a show. And like, I think, I remember him saying like he decided like when he was in hospital after like having the like operation and whatever, that like he had to do this film because he couldn't like bear the thought of, had he or were he to die, that his last film would be Yoga Hoses, which is understandable. So yeah, he just like wrote this. Obviously, like being able to get everyone to come back and like all the cameos and stuff like that is pretty easy when you nearly died. So it's like, you know, just get all your friends to do you a favor.
If I can do an Andrew, I've got some budget things and some financial takes here of the film, which is very exciting.
Go for gold.
Okay, I had the budget and then I instantly lost it. Andrew makes it sound so much easier than what I've just done.
10 million, I'm pretty sure.
That's a bad thing then. I'll confirm for 100% certainty what the budget was, but the film's domestic and international gross came to 4.6 million.
That is just theatrical though. It was only released for like 2 days.
Oh, that's right, because it went straight into video on demand, didn't it?
No, they took it on like a tour. It's like the same thing that he did with Red State. Like Kevin and Jay just did like a tour around the United States, taking it to different cities, screening the movie, and then doing a podcast afterwards. And they would have made bulk money off of that.
Yeah, so Variety does report $10 million for the budget, so that's correct. Yeah.
So 4.7 would have just been for that really short box office run.
Okay, so maybe it's not as terrible and as
that
sounds.
As well, like, even though it doesn't sound good, it was also, like, the second highest per screen average taking for the year, like, just behind, like, Parasite, I think. Like, it made, like, what was it? It was, like, 60 grand, like, per screen.
Okay.
Which is not bad for a film that was out 2 days.
Right. Now, IMDb has this film sitting at a lovely rating of 5.7 out of 10.
Yeah, I thought that was curious because then I looked at Rotten Tomatoes and it's like the audience score was like 90-something, like 93%.
Yeah, it's crazy high.
Against a 5.7 aggregated on IMDb.
It's worth noting as well, the critic rating on Tomatoes as well is 66 and it's actually fresh. So yeah,
not bad.
It's more liked than not liked from how I understand how Rotten Tomatoes works, which I don't.
I just look at the numbers.
So out of the critics, 25 of them rated it fresh and 13 rated it rotten, which is averaged out to 66% fresh.
Not bad.
That's how that works. But this film
for
has
a movie with a very niche audience, that's not bad.
Whereas the audience score actually breaks down to this film sitting at about a 4.53 star rating, which is ridiculously high, but it was only reviewed by just shy of 560 viewers. So the sample size is Kevin Smith's family.
Yeah.
To be fair, I would have jumped on and given it an 8. It doesn't deserve an 8, but I would have given it an 8 to boost those numbers. But interesting. Okay, so I watched this on Amazon Prime, and I think I watched this the first time on Amazon Prime like a while ago, like maybe this is the second time this year I've watched it once for...
Well, I watched it when it initially came out on VOD in the US. I very legally, wink, wink, downloaded it and watched it because I'd been waiting years for the movie, and then did have a brief theatrical run here as well, and I did go see it in a theater, which was a completely different experience because you're seeing it with... the intended audience, like the only people going to see that movie are Jay and Silent Bob fans. So it played much better in a theater than it did by myself in my living room.
Yeah. I think from memory when I saw Jason Mewes do one of his panels at Supernova, it's one of our comic conventions that we get here. He was talking in brief about coming back and doing this. It was also in part about talking about the Jay and Silent Bob Get Old or whatever it is podcast.
Yeah. Well, they've done that here a few times.
Mm. But talking about the experience of getting back into it and to prove that he still had what it took to be Jay, he did the entire freaking, what is it, $15 Little Man, like that whole thing.
Brilliant.
Just on the spot, which is, I mean, I suppose like it's kind of his job to do that, but also like, oh,
Dance
that's
Monkey Man.
Exactly. And he did it and it was incredible.
That's great.
And I wish I had the voice, I'll think of it later.
I don't know what word you're looking for.
Yeah, neither do I. Like the lungs to do it, but that's not the word I want. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm not a singer. As you can see, I can't remember the word that means the thing I'm trying to say.
I can't even figure out what you're trying to say to help you.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the gusto, but no, there's like a... But when you hear a really good singer and you're like, wow, look at like it's like the version of look at the chops on that one, but it's something to do with specifically their voice.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably not a thing. It's probably just the...
It is, but I don't know if it works in the context that you're trying to put it into.
Do you have a word?
I was going to say like pipes, maybe?
Yeah, the pipes. That's
That's a common expression.
That's the one I wanted. For some reason, cool. It doesn't matter. But he had the pipes, I guess.
All right.
Sure. Is there anything really of note apart from before we get into the actual review itself? Anything that caught your eye?
Just trying to think of any like sort of other fun little trivia or story notes, but nothing springs to mind. I know like Chris Hemsworth, like his guest spot, like he wanted to do it so bad that like he had to come in and film it in like an hour before going to do some Thor bullshit.
Yep.
So like he was, yeah, obviously super committed to it because he worked it around like his schedule. But other than that, there's nothing that really springs to mind.
I was looking for some other fact that I remembered from a while ago, but yeah, apparently Kevin Smith playing himself in this film wasn't part of the original plan.
Oh, okay.
And the linked bit of trivia there is that Stan Lee was actually meant to have a really big part in this film.
Yeah, right.
But
maybe that was meant to be the spot.
Yeah. If you stay throughout the credits in this film, there's a bunch of, there's a couple of bloopers, a couple of just alternate takes.
Yeah.
But there's Kevin Smith. Actually,
the bit with Stan.
Doing a line reading, just sort of faffing about, really. But I think it must have been part of something through IMDb because Kevin was wearing a jersey with the IMDb logo.
Yeah, I think it's like, it was from like Comic-Con, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
They have like an IMDb boat.
So it's like a brand ambassador for them or something too. Like every now and then on the front page of IMDb, there'll be Kevin Smith just talking shit with someone.
Yeah.
So he's obviously got a secondary gig with them. But yeah, it was him and Stan, and then they did like a little in memoriam thing.
Yeah.
Which top of my head, I think was one of the first films that came out after Stan's passing.
It would have been because he only was like mid last year, right? That he passed away.
Yeah, because I remember
Or was it early? Because this movie came out in like October, I think.
I'm trying to remember what it was because there was a film that I had seen in which I was genuinely surprised that they had got the first theatrical in memory of Stan Lee movie because it wasn't a Marvel film. It was It was something else. To the point, like, I'm maybe even thinking, like, was it fucking, like, Shazam or something? Did maybe one of the DC films do it because they were the first, maybe it wasn't Shazam, don't quote me on that one, but there was some film I had seen just after he passed that did, like, the In Loving Memory of Stan Lee and played a clip, and it made me really sad at the end, and I was like, oh, poor Marvel releases 27 films a year, and they don't get the one that's right after. I'll never find out what it is. That's gone to time. I'm going to say it's this movie.
That'll do it.
when did this film come out? 2019?
Yeah,
they can have the win. That's fine. All right, well, I guess we'll get into it.
Yeah, why not?
So remember last week we did Dance All Bob Strike Back. It's very similar.
Yep, it's the same movie with a few bits of information subbed out for something different.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I love it.
So please help me here. I'll try my best. But
what are we looking for? Like where it starts?
Oh, I know it starts with Jay getting arrested for growing weed in the store next to the Quick Stop, which is very funny in itself. And just the goodbye horses bit as well, which is great.
Callback.
But effectively, they go to court. Mm-hmm. They're, through some trickery, actually stripped of their names, Jay and Silent Bob, because Saban Entertainment, the company that owns Power Rangers, who is hilariously in real world, very litigious about protecting their intellectual property. Do you remember that amazing, like, gritty Power Rangers reboot thing that went up on YouTube starring James Vanderbeek? And it
sounds vaguely familiar.
It happened like 1 or 2 years before the Power Rangers movie, and everyone watched it and it was like, holy shit, this film looks incredible. It was like a 5-minute short bit. One of the Rangers had turned on the other ones, and like the Red Ranger or whatever was going, like, played by Vanderbeek, was going like after them to get revenge. But it was only him, like he had just gotten to the spot where one of the Rangers had been taken out and he was there with them like for their dying moments, kind of setting up the story.
Right, okay.
And it was incredible.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
And Saban's like, oh, that's ours. And they took it down. Dang. You can probably find it somewhere else. I'll see if I can like look at it later just to pass on. But it was really, really good. And it was honestly like how the Deadpool stuff got leaked and launched a film. They're like, oh, people want to see Power Rangers again. Like, so let's make a movie that takes nothing of this. But it was like, did you ever see those Mortal Kombat prequels that went up?
I think so.
Where like Raiden was, instead of being like the god of thunder and lightning, he was a mental patient who thought that he like you also, it was played like you didn't know whether or not it was just because he was actually, but people think he's crazy because of it. Or if it's, it was like that style of how would we do this if it was, you know, run it through the Zack Snyder film sort of thing. Yeah. Anyway, that happened and Saban just fucking obliterated it. But yeah, it was literally starring James Van Der Beek. Like, an actual actor came in and did it.
I'm going to have to track that down. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I really liked it. And so I appreciate that Saban was the one that they picked for this film because they're the kind of guys that would be like, oh, that's ours now.
Yeah. Goodbye. Well, I thought it was just like a random pick, but they actually distributed the movie.
Oh, as well? Well, that's nice. Remember when Fox used to make fun of themselves and Simpsons before they... anyway... They've lost their names, Jay and Silent Bob, because Saban Entertainment is now launching the reboot of Blunt Man
and Chronic.
The film that was made in Strikes Back.
Blunt Man v. Chronic.
Yes. Oh, anyway. So they're... Effectively, their quest is to go to Hollywood again, and they figure their logic is, if the movie doesn't exist, there'll be no reason to keep us from having our names.
Yep.
Let's stop the movie from being made, which is different reason, but the exact...
Same idea.
Yeah. And the whole film, like when they go to meet with, what's his name? Their comic book friend,
Brody.
Thank you. Yeah. Who's played by, my name is Earl Dude.
Jason Lee.
Thank you. he pretty much runs them through what the difference between a reboot and a remake is. And a reboot is just taking the exact same idea, but subbing in a couple of things. So it's very similar, but different enough that you don't feel like you're not getting a new film, but you sort of aren't. And
yeah.
His like effectively their Force Awakenings it. Like it's A New Hope, but you know, prettier.
Adding youth and diversity.
Yes. And you know what? I really prefer, I've said this a lot on the show, but I haven't said this to you. I think The Force Awakens is the best Star Wars movie, full stop. Maybe Empire some days, but I think The Force Awakens is definitely better than New Hope. Like, I know they just remade it, but they remade it better. And I'll fight anyone.
Wouldn't go out of my way to argue with you on that. It was a fun movie.
I like it. I think the rest all... they're all terrible films. so that, you know, the film's kind of explained the difference between a reboot and a remake, and then goes out of its way to make sure that you're fully aware the entire time that this film is 100%. I mean, it's called their reboot, but it is a reboot of Strikes Back. It's exactly the same fucking shit on purpose.
Yep.
And it's great for that, right? Like when you watch it, the whole thing's just filled with callback jokes to Strikes Back. If you don't watch Strikes Back first. There's still jokes in this film that you'll get, but I think it's funnier having seen the original. Yeah,
definitely. Like I was thinking about it when I watched it. I'm like, you can watch this as like a standalone movie and like it's still funny, but there is, like a lot of just like, even just like visual jokes and stuff that like play much better if you've seen Strikes Back.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and there's...
And I mean, ultimately it was made for people who have seen Strike Back.
I don't think any Kevin Smith films made for people that don't like Kevin Smith films.
Yeah,
very
true.
Like he's got his niche and they're ride or die with him pretty much. So yeah, it's fine.
We'll can there. Confirm.
Yeah. And I mean, stupidest thing, but the funniest joke for me in this film was a callback joke. When Jansel and Bob, we'll get to it, but they meet all this crew of like four or five young girls. Mm-hmm. And Jay's like, I've seen this exact thing before. You're all wearing cat suits under your clothes. I know that you're all diamond thieves. And then at the end of the film, one of them is revealed to be wearing a cat suit. Yeah. Like, I fucking knew it. And it's made so much funnier having seen Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And which, I mean, I will say, they didn't even meet them in that scene. In the Strikes Back, they never saw them in the cat suit, I don't think. Unless they rocked up in the cat suits in Hollywood, which I don't think they did.
No, you might be right.
But it's fine. It was still really funny.
Yeah.
but stuff like that played really well to me.
Yeah.
But once again, your debate with the comedy, should you need to know an inside joke to laugh at a movie, or should the movie be funny on its own right? It's a sequel.
I feel like there's room for both.
Fine. Yeah. If this was the first film and the film that it was LARPing on was fucking Chasing Amy, which I mean, it kind of does later on, but
in scenes, yeah.
Yeah. If that whole film was credited on, did you see that film from 30 years ago? That's probably a mistake.
Yeah.
But I mean, no one that didn't like Strikes Back was going to see this film on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, so I think it was safe.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, they planned to go to Hollywood to get the movie canceled so they get their name back. So instead of having people fuck up their names, they just want to keep their names.
Yeah.
They can't fly there because they're on the do not fly list because...
What their was the association reason? With the clit.
That's right. Because of the... Yeah, that's right. Because they're from a known terrorist organization. so they have to end up driving to getting an Uber effectively to Hollywood. Along the way, they pass, well, Jay finds out they're in the town or near the town of...
Justice,
thank you. Who was his sort of girlfriend, I guess, by the end of the last film. And the big sort of different twist is instead of picking up a monkey and taking the monkey with them, they find out that Justice had a kid, and Jay's actually an absentee father that he didn't realize.
Sure is.
And in some sort of, this is poetic somehow, but his kid is played by Kevin Smith's daughter.
Yeah.
Which, that's nice, I guess.
It's a funny joke because for years and years, I think Kevin's always joked about it. Like every time he posts a photo of his kid, someone in the comments will be like, I don't know, she kind of looks like Jay.
I actually like Harley Quinn Smith.
So do I. I think especially she's come into her own a little bit more as an actress, over the last couple films that she's done. And granted, they've all been her dad's movies, but I think she's getting quite good, especially in this movie, because she carries a lot of the emotional weight of it. And I think her performance and her emoting is quite good.
I don't know how to say that sounds like a dickhead, and I don't mean this badly, but she has a very interesting face. She doesn't look like many other actresses.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just her facial structure. I think she's cute. This is not meant to be I'm not trying to put her down, but she just doesn't look like her traditional Hollywood actress in that way.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And so she always stands out to me when I see her because I'm there's something just different. Mm. And I think she'll grow up to be more of a character actor than, say, a traditional
sort of... Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, which, I mean, to be fair, is kind of what she surrounded herself with through her father. They're all character actors, which makes perfect sense.
Same character for 25 years, but character actors nonetheless.
But even, all the actors that he tends to use tend to be sort of that kind of actor as well.
Very much so.
I wouldn't even say Jason Mewes is a character actor. He's just a guy that rocks up on set and reads the lines.
Yeah.
But... as himself, I guess.
Mm. Have you seen the movie he made a year or two ago?
I heard about it, but what was it?
It was called Madness in the Method or something. It's actually pretty good. I really enjoyed it. He basically plays a fictionalized version of himself, trying to get good acting roles, away from Jay, and going super method, method actor about it. And it was actually pretty funny. I really enjoyed it.
I think this is also what he was talking about because he was talking about...
It probably would have been around making, the time that he was there, yeah.
What was it called again?
The Madness in the Method.
Oh, there it is. And he plays Jay.
Yeah.
Well, it says his name is Jay, but I guess Jay is short for Jason in this case. Interesting. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I don't know if he wrote it, but I'm pretty sure he directed it as well.
He didn't write it, but he did direct it. It had Vinnie Jones in it. Interesting. Mm.
Yeah, Vinnie Jones is the second lead.
Yeah, and Kevin Smith plays Kevin's in it.
Yeah.
So Stan Lee was in it.
Yeah, it's a cool little cast, but it's, very fun movie. I'm not sure where you can find it on streaming, but if you happen across it, it's worth the watch.
Interesting. Is it rated higher than this film is the question.
That's a very good question. It is.
It's a 5.8 versus a 5.7. To be fair, it was reviewed by 1,500 people as opposed to the almost 20,000 that don't review this film. So once again, stats are a bit skewed.
Might be a bit skewed.
They find out he has a daughter. Mm-hmm. She wants to go to Hollywood with them. She's traveling with her deaf friend, mm-hmm. which is a nice little parallel. They have a guy that doesn't speak and she has a guy.
She has a deaf friend.
Doesn't hear. Well, again, he also can't speak for her, I guess. And then they, along the way, it turns out this is all part of a plan by his daughter. She doesn't know, by the way, that Jay is her father by this point. But she's traveling with a group of four girls as well. Mm-hmm. Her deaf friend, a Chinese podcaster. and they've got an Islamic girl whose name is Jihad, which is fine. Is it just the four of them? I'm not missing one, am I? I think it was just four of them. I'd feel bad if I'm missing one, if there's five girls and I've just blanked on one of them.
No, I think there was only four.
I would do exactly that, though. That would be typical me. I think it's four. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They're all on a quest to get the Chinese girl to this movie because she's about to be deported.
For some reason, is a big fan of Blunt Man and Chronic.
Yep. And she's about to be deported. Not legally deported. She's just, her visa's coming to an end. Her mom's taking her home, so they want to get her to have this, last American experience before she leaves them forever. Mm-hmm. Say they want to go there. And then it's just like the last movie where just a bunch of shit happens on the way there. A lot of it's not relevant.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like they run into some of the girls get kidnapped for, this is like a 5-minute scene, by the way. They get kidnapped by the KKK because one's black and one's Islamic.
Yep.
And they have to go
save her. McClane don't like that.
No, they don't. And it's actually one of the better Silent Bob speaking bits when he pretends like he's in charge of the KKK and he's reprimanding all of them. And Chris Jericho is the sort of the clan leader.
The clan god?
Yeah. Yep.
Le Ku Klux Klan.
I feel like we should have seen that he donated to Trump coming a lot earlier with this scene. Also,
Turns out Chris Jericho, also character actor, very method.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was like, I had to do some mental gymnastics.
That's truly why he donated to the campaign, man. He was just getting really method for this role. He's not actually a bad person.
No, it's fine. Everything's fine.
That's my new headcanon. That's how I make it all okay.
The mental gymnastics I went through to work out how somebody could think I'm not racist, donate to the Trump campaign.
But I like that racist man.
But then also play the KKK, obviously. They're in a bad light because they exist, but in this film, they're also portrayed in a negative light. So if he was, in fact, a sympathizer to the KKK, he wouldn't take this role because he'd be making fun of someone he agreed with. So the assumption is if he's making fun of the KKK, he doesn't agree with them, but then he donates to the Trump campaign. And I was like, I was trying to work out, like, as a person, none of us are infallible. We always make mistakes. Our lives are just a series of contradictions. Like, I'll do one thing one day that might not add up to tomorrow's, you know, what I want to do then. I get it. But I was trying to work out how he did this because it seemed to me.
I can't even begin to explain it.
It's like on Monday, he kills his mum. And on Wednesday, he starts a charity to prevent people's mothers from being killed. And then on Friday, he gives a speech about why you should never kill someone's mom.
Yeah.
And then he repeats, and then somehow on Monday he kills his mom again. And it's like, how did you do that? I mean, that's a very bad example. Yeah. Normally Andrew would rein me in.
I think your mental gymnastics are at a good pick. He's like, oh, but I played and made fun of the KKK in a film. I can't like be racist. I also don't think he's racist. I just think he's stupid.
I mean, yeah, this is, unfortunately, this is coming from a different podcast, but I assume it was just more like he's probably just a Republican and supports the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for a lot of people in the States with their system, whether you're Democrat or Republican, they don't really matter who gets put up for election. I just vote blue or I just vote red. Mm. And I mean, hey, it's pretty much the same here. Unless a candidate stands out in particular, people are normally a Labor or a Liberal voter here.
Yeah, exactly.
And the party, the actual individual, doesn't really matter as much. It's just, it's your favorite color.
As much as it should, but it's not really 100% the way that it works.
Like, to be fair, like I vote Greens and I voted Greens pretty much for all the elections I've been a part of. But in saying that, I couldn't name you who I voted for. I just voted for the green one. That's what I mean. Like,
it's, you're at me either, now that I think about it.
So I imagine it's more.
When we voted like a few weeks ago, I don't think I even read the name. I was just like, Greens won.
Yep. I literally, when you walk through and they hand you the pamphlets, like I took one from people and it was the Liberal one and instantly just like let go of it and it fell on the ground and turned and grabbed the green one.
Just floating off like a plastic bag in the wind.
So this is me. I don't know if this is like, I'm trying to shine him in a good light here. In his case, you vote for whoever you want, but also
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's also said some very stupid things in the past year, so sure I can't confirm.
He sure has.
But hey, he was fun in this movie.
He was fun.
And he makes me laugh every Thursday, so I'll give him a pass.
And I watched, to tie back a little bit, I did watch one of those like movie trivia challenge shows. I can't remember.
Is that the one he did with Kevin?
With Kevin,
yeah. Yeah, I watched that.
And Jericho's bad at movies.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Kevin Smith, surprisingly good at movies.
Funny how that works.
It's so strange. If they had done like the same thing, but like with wrestling trivia, I suppose it would have been maybe flipped, but they did not.
That's true.
Yeah, so like a bunch of shit like that does happen. Like there's a scene where they take out a pedophile as well. Like there's like, it's all just road trip shenanigans until they get to Chronicon, I think is the name of the
Chronicon.
Blunt Man and Chronic themed Comic-Con event.
Yeah.
They get there, they run into Ben Affleck, who's playing
Holden.
Holden, is it?
Yep.
Yep. What's her face from Chasing Andy's there as
That's kind of a funny bit of trivia. So like that wasn't originally in the movie.
Oh.
Like it was written like during production It's like they were like shooting the movie and like Kevin just like hadn't reached out to Ben about doing it. And one day like someone was just like, you really should. He's like, nah, I don't want to bother him. He's being Batman. And so like he just like sent him a text message one day, like just saying, hey man, do you want to come play? And he was like, absolutely. So like he wrote that scene like Walden.
Okay. Now it just froze, which means I don't know if we're still recording. Oh, and I'm not going to edit this out if we are. If we are, you can just hear the fact that I freaked out. No, it
is there waveforms moving?
Yeah, it seems absolutely fine. Okay, ignore me. I was just like, oh God, when the screen froze and you were telling trivia, I'm like, damn it. We had organic trivia and it's rebrewed. It seems fine.
Nah, I did really like that scene though. His whole dialogue section is like really nice.
Yeah.
It was well delivered. And like harks back to like so many like different movies and different items as well. So, so good.
And they leave the room and he just makes like six horrible puns.
So good. You're gone, girl. It's the Just Us League.
Yep. There was an Argo one at the very end as well.
Argo, fuck yourself.
That's the one.
I think my favorite part of the whole, like that whole diatribe of his is where he's like, then you're not Bruce Wayne anymore. You're Thomas Wayne or Batman's mum, whose name escapes me.
So good. We should have mentioned earlier, once again, in a throwaway scene, there's like a brief moment of the film where the film is being narrated by Matt Damon, who is playing Loki, the angel from Dogma. And he's talking about he didn't go to hell. He didn't go to heaven. God resurrected him and dropped him in the ocean in Italy. And he was picked up by like fishermen and stuff. And now he's made his way back and he's at the church and, you know, directly addressing the audience. So there you go. You got your Dogma closure.
His reborn identity.
That's right. Oh, yep. Forgot that as well.
So dumb.
I actually really liked that scene too. Matt Damon's never bad for me. I just find sometimes I look at him, I'm like, I'm just so bored looking at him.
Yeah.
But he was
what
very
a bland
funny.
Looking person.
Exactly. But I can't name a performance of his that hasn't been good.
Yeah.
I just see him on screen. I'm like, oh, here we fucking go.
Fucking Matt Damon again.
Yeah, but there you go. They actually tied together because I'm Chasing Amy, Mallrats, obviously Clerks, and Dogma, which I was just happy to see a Dogma thing because that feels like, even though that was like for me, the best film of all of them, it felt like the one that was sort of dropped the most afterwards.
Yeah, there wasn't really much you could carry on from it, I guess. Well, so it was kind of its own enclosed story.
Yeah. Although Jay does at one point tell his daughter that he's met God and she looks exactly like Alanis Morissette or whatever it was. All right, so yeah, they get to Chronicon. They split up and they go to stop the movie from being made. Oh, yeah, I should have mentioned Kevin Smith himself is the director of this film. So
isn't it Kevin James?
Yeah, they keep calling him Kevin James, but that's because they're idiots, I guess. So then they decide, oh, actually, maybe we'll just let the movie happen. It seems to be making my daughter very happy.
Mm.
And they'll just deal with the consequences of having the movie existing because she wanted it to be a thing, and even though they didn't want to. Turns out the Chinese girl was a spy. A Russian
not Chinese,
spy.
She's Russian.
Yeah, she's got a terrible Russian accent, and she's wearing
the worst.
So during the they were like filming a scene for the Chronic, Blunt Man v Chronic movie. She turns out all the extras are also Russian spies, and they take over. And
they all have big cock knocker hands.
Yep. I was so disappointed when they did like, oh, they I'm kind of all over the place. They show us a scene from Blunt Man v Chronic and it's actually incredible.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah. And then there's this, at the very end of the scene is cock knocker punches through the wall. You see his fist and I'm like, oh fuck, did Mark Hamill re-cameo in this film? And it just cuts.
Oh God, no.
Damn it.
Disney weren't having that.
No. Anyway, yeah, shenanigans, there's a fight scene. Jay gets into like you remember in the end of Batman v Superman, how Batman had like the mech suit to fight Superman in?
Yeah.
He gets in the Iron Man Bob sort of thing, version of that.
I think Marvel gonna sue somebody.
Yep. And they have a bit of a fight and it just kind of ends.
Yeah, it just fades out. There's no real like resolution to it. You're just like, yeah, everything's fine. It all ends well.
The film pretty much just says, and that's when we hit our budget. That's when we had to stop.
And this is where the movie ends.
Yep. So
I did like find it quite funny how like to do that, they literally had Kevin Smith on screen being like, and then we'll pan out like this, and then maybe we'll do like a slow fade into the next scene.
Oh, good. I actually really liked the scene. It was funny. It was a little clever than most other things in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jay, in the course of all this, has told his daughter that he's the father and stuff. Mm-hmm. He kind of plans on sticking around a little bit to help raise her. I think she's going to be living with the mum, but he wants to be like an active part of her life.
Yeah.
And the film just, wraps up and it's fine. It's a weird arc nice little for Jay happy to go ending. On.
Yeah.
Because he had an arc.
Exactly.
I think I prefer The Strikes Back because more happens. And I actively laughed more this time. But once again, it's hard to tell because I know the jokes from Strikes Back versus these jokes are still kind of new to me. So they hit me funnier. I think I preferred this.
Yeah, just sort of talking through it now, I kind of think I do as well. It could be like the shiny new toy, like you said, but it does like, there's more stuff that happens. There's more like, more of like an emotional story arc to it as well, which is nice because you get to see like a bit more out of someone like Jay, who you don't really get to see like do much of like an emotional delivery in any of the previous films. And he does it like quite well as well. Mm. So like, I think you're right. Like, I don't know if it's by like a large margin, but I do think I prefer it as well.
I will say as well, this film is less, I mean, it came out last year, so it's definitely less aged. there is a significant drop in like homophobic jokes by like Jason Mewes's character.
That's a sign of the times, really.
Yeah, like because even watching Strikes Back, there was a lot of like, oh, they're using gay as a derogatory term a lot. But once again, older film, it's going to do that.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but they were able to keep the same consistent characters going in this film by and still removing that sort of language. So I guess from how this film could be looked back on in 10 plus years. I mean, surely they're going to say something else in here that's going to be offensive anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But I think this film will...
I mean, he straight up calls that girl a terrorist. So.
Yes, but he was being, but when he was saying that, he was being portrayed as an
stupid,
idiot.
Yeah.
Whereas when he was just like, oh man, that's gay. It's like, he wasn't, no one was looking down at him for saying that. He was just sort of, that was just,
Yeah. I feel the same way. Like I'm in the middle of rewatching Californication and like that show's only like 10 years old, but there is like liberal use of the F word. And I'm just like, this is weird.
I think the F word's fine. I mean, weird for a TV show, I guess, though.
Yeah.
But for me, it's more profanity. It's more who the language is attacking.
Yeah, I suppose.
I said this is a straight white male where no one attacks me ever.
Yeah.
But I want to be able to watch the movie with anyone. And I mean, apart from, I'm not going to watch the movie with my nan. So sure. I don't. The F-bombs aren't going to be too much of a worry.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I don't think she'd mind either. She's Italian. I don't think she can speak English. I don't know. do you want to get to verdicts?
Yeah. May as well. I think it's. I mean, that's the end of the movie.
I think that is pretty much it, yeah.
You've heard the good, you've heard the bad, a lot of opinions, a couple facts, it's verdict time.
I can't remember if I recommended the last one. I don't think I did, but I'm going to recommend this one just to be safe because it's better than that one. And it just felt more professional. I still think Clerks 2 is better than both of these films.
I would agree.
I think... Strict comedy-wise, I get more laughs from Randall and Dante.
Yeah.
Best films.
Oh, it's just better dialogue, really, because they're smarter, so to speak, wittier characters. But yeah, I agree. I think like Clerks 2 is probably one of my favorites from the whole series.
I think, I can't order all of them because I haven't seen all of them recently, but Dogma's still the best film for me from him because, I mean, it was the smartest, it was the funniest. It actually had like a really interesting story to tell as well. But if I'm talking just pure laughs, Clerks 2, and then I'd say this one. Like, Jay and Silent Bob was meant to be really funny, and it just, it wasn't, Strike Back, I mean. Mm-hmm. It was meant to be really funny. It just didn't live up to what I think it wanted to be.
Sure.
But this film, it's fine. I think also having seen Strikes Back really recently before it, lowered my expectations, so this film rose above.
Yeah.
So, I mean... They set themselves up for success. I recommend this film.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, like we've kind of alluded to, I think if you've seen Strikes Back, like it's going to play much better for you. But it's also just a perfectly fine, like fun little comedy film that you can see where if you haven't, maybe you're not going to get all the jokes and little side glances and references, but it's still a fun movie because they also do a good enough job of like kind of explaining that sort of shit for you. But I really liked it. I mean, I am the target audience. Like, I'm a lifelong Kevin Smith fan, so I wasn't Like, there was no chance I wasn't going to like this movie, but I've now seen it like 3 or 4 times and it still holds up for me.
The one thing I haven't done, and I will eventually, I've never watched this movie greened out. I think that might be the option. Well, this movie might or be the way any of his films. I genuinely wonder if they would suit that sort of environment. I haven't even watched them drunk, for God's sake.
I think they would.
Yeah. That's an option for another day. Maybe we'll do an alternate review.
Alt review.
Yeah. All good. I mean, special treat. I think we'll skip socials because I also can't remember the ones Andrew says. Unless you're...
You know the ones.
Yeah. What's your Twitter?
The usual places. My Twitter is JordanMSPP. You can follow me if you like.
And mine's @Bastian_James. I'm going to get rid of that underscore. I fucking hate it. But I'm going to date...
Is Bastian James taken?
I don't know, but also... one time I wanted to change it because I had Bastian James, it was @Bastian_James, but it was all lowercase. And just to change it to the uppercase ones, I had to actually change it to something completely different.
Oh, really?
And then wait a day or whatever it was, a couple of hours, and then go back to Bastian_James with B, J.
Huh. You're a weird beast, Twitter.
Yeah, it was just because it's like that name's taken because it was taken by me because I was using the same letters.
Right.
So it didn't, even though when you change it, it sees the difference in capitals mm-hmm. or not, that doesn't actually affect the name being taken.
Okay.
So I can't sign up as Donald Trump with a lowercase D, which makes complete sense.
D0NALD Trump.
Yep, that's me. Okay, so next week we're back with Clue just because these little fill-ins that we had to do because the cinemas is a dead medium this year. Which is, if you haven't seen it, Tim Curry, Christopher, I'm blanking.
I literally didn't recognize a single other person in that film.
Yeah, apart from Tim Curry.
I was like, oh, that's Tim Curry. Who are these other jokers?
Who's the, I've just forgotten his name because I'm a bad person. He plays Doc Brown in Back to the Future.
Doc Brown is in Clue?
Yeah.
What?
He's the doctor.
Pardon?
Yeah, I'm forgetting his name. All I can think about is Christopher Lee. It's not Christopher Lee because it's very much not Christopher Lee.
Hold the phone. Oh, Christopher Lloyd.
Lloyd, thank you.
Didn't even recognize him.
Well, he's got bloody brown hair.
That'll do it.
Yeah, because this film's a little bit older. If you haven't seen it, go watch it before I review because it's sort of it's a bit of a murder mystery with a couple of different endings floating around. We'll definitely go into it next week. But it's also a comedy, and I think there'll be more value to hearing our discussion if you've seen the jokes and everything with it. It's hard to get that same meaning across, and for the sake of not spoiling funny jokes, I would say go watch it in advance and then come back to us next week.
Definitely.
That's the first time I've ever warned people to do that. I feel like I should do that every time we review a comedy. Go watch it first.
I feel like maybe you should just be watching the movies before you listen to the review anyway.
Yeah, probably.
That's a good way to enjoy the show, folks. Hot tip.
We used to do spoiler warnings at the beginning, and then because the show is just, we talk about the entire film, it is a spoiler, so I never warn about it, spoiler. Which I probably should, but I mean, when you look at a review...
If you're clicking on a movie review show...
It goes for an hour.
Are you expecting them to be vague for an hour?
That's something like, yeah, if the reviews were 5 minutes long, that's on us to tell you.
Yeah.
But if it's an hour long episode, what do you think we talk about? Like... barely anything. Anyway, special treat on the outro as well, so have fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.